Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to, is this the last one of the year?
Yeah.
I, for one, will be happy to kiss this year goodbye, won't I?
Say what?
Huh?
Say this year goodbye?
Yes, I said I, for one, will be happy to kiss this year goodbye.
I'm just excited about everything we don't know for tomorrow.
Yes, it is. So, welcome to the Sunday morning adult Sunday school discussion class at Wings Christian Fellowship. Debbie Morgan.
Yes.
Would you pray for our class?
Sure. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is spirit and life, and it gives us life, Lord. We just praise you for all that you're doing here in this little assembly. Mm-hmm. And we just thank you for your goodness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I got to read a little bit of what you did last week while I was gone. And that's all I'm going to say about that. When I'm gone again. Okay, so I see that you went into Matthew 6, so I read over, you know, the first couple of verses of Matthew 6. And I know I'm going to enjoy talking about it. I don't know how much you guys actually got into it last week. You went up to 8?
Read to 8.
Are you ready to start with 9, or is there anything you want to go over? Chapter 6.
Yeah. Anyone have anything to...
You want to talk
more
about?
Said?
No? Okay. Well, let's go to verse 9, then.
It's my turn.
Oh, if you need to use the iPad, I can use mine. It's got a Bible program.
Yeah, I can use. I'm gonna get real.
Okay, I think I'll just say I can use my phone.
She's become very adept at using her phone.
I think women invented those phones.
All right, then you let me know how far. So I'll start reading. So I'm reading from Matthew 6, beginning at Scripture 9. Pray therefore like this: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, kept holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven and left remitted. Given up resentment against our debtors, and lead and bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them and letting them go and giving up resentment, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, and leaving them and letting them go and giving up the resentment, neither will your Father forgive you and your trespasses. And whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy and sour and weary like hypocrites, for they put on a dismal countenance that their fasting may be apparent to and seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full already.
What verse are you on?
I'm now on
16.
The last one.
Okay. Let's go to 19. Stop at 19.
All right. But when you fast, perfume your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in open. Do not gather and heap up on and store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy, and where thieves break through. But gather up, heap up store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume, destroy, where thieves do not break through and steal. For therefore your treasure is, and there will your heart be also.
Well, there's one thing that strikes me about this, and it's back a little bit in what we were reading, and it says, don't babble on like, you know, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites and, you know, pray publicly and make a big show of yourself. Because, but it says, this is what I love. This is the ambiance of the feeling for God and God for me. Is that when you pray, go away by yourself. It makes me feel little with me and God only. And I think that's, to me, that's one of the main things that God is trying to show me, is to get right-sized and to get alone and away with Him and have a relationship that is so totally with Him. Learn how to keep my little mouth from spewing out, you know, all of the things that God is doing in me, silently and beautifully, quietly. Get alone with God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went off by himself often, you know, and was alone with his Father. If there's one thing that I felt like God was showing me during 2024 was a personal relationship with him. Relationship to me is the most important thing with God, and yet, even after all these years, I felt like my relationship with God was not adequate for me. I felt like I did the vain repetitions to God. Oh God, I praise you. Oh God, you are so wonderful. You are this, you are that. But in fact, of getting down there into the nitty gritty of my heart and opening it up and telling what's troubling me, you know, and those are the things that I wanted God to deal with me about this year, and I feel like he really has. But he says, but when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Shut that door, you know? And pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And what does he give you as your reward? He says, God is my exceeding reward. You're my reward and I'm his reward. You know? So, and of course then there's the Our Father. If you forget, and then at the end of that prayer he says, well, that's what we consider a prayer. Okay? The whole thing is a prayer. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I've always had trouble with that verse in the Bible as well. Because I don't think God is a tit-for-tat kind of God. You know? I think he will show us how to forgive others by withholding a good thing from us.
I think a lot of this goes beyond suggestion. It actually goes, he when he speaks, he's talking about the reverence part of it and the willingness for us to be that reverent. I was going to ask the question, so what do you think if people don't take time to go by themselves and go alone with God? I think a lot of times when you're not alone with God, God doesn't reveal stuff to you. I think his revealing is for you to honor the word, and as you honor that word, he reveals what he wants you to know in his presence. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond words into the presence. And I think that's where our heart begins to pat, like, you know, the deer after the rain or whatever it's called. I don't know. I probably got that all over the place. Well, anyway. But how that in his presence you'll desire to be in there, and I think you'll practice being more alone with him, because you'll find out that's a big key there to a big open door that he's wanting you to go into. But I think he's wanting to captivate us in that presence of oneness, because we know how dear and we'll cherish it beyond measure, because that brings our closeness and our commitment to follow his word and be in his word. I guess my question is, the same. What do you think happens to people when they don't get the aloneness with him?
They have lack. They feel a lack, too. There's a lack. I feel like you know your experience, and I have. That you feel there's a lack there, because God so desires to be one with us. And you don't take the time to be with him as is his desire. There's a lack. Because being in his presence, changing.
Well, you know, you probably have heard this, where people said, you know, I need more of this, I need more faith, I need more of this. And the reality, I've heard even jokingly, that's not what you need. You just need more obedience. And I think that's where we lack. That shows our lackness. Obedient to his word. Not a suggestion, what he says to you. That's not a suggestion. Otherwise, that's not a vote. But I'll tell you what, I think it's an indicator of how you walk and where you're at with God. I'd say that opens up a lot of questions. People, what you do is, I think you find more people asking questions. I'm not going to talk, by the way. Ask questions about things that they should have known about if they'd have took that long time with him. Because that's where we learn stuff. That's where we learn his presence. I mean, I know what it says about his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. But I like to believe that, and I believe I do believe this, in his presence, there's no lack of him. Because in his presence, there's the fullness. And I think that's how important it is, that alone time. I mean, you know, as a young man, like 17, 18 years old, I used to go in a closet. I mean, I actually shut the door and went into a closet. And no phones, no nothing in there. Just God and me. And I thought, and I still believe, that that's actually the indicator that what really drew me to know his voice in a greater way. Because there wasn't no any interference, and there wasn't no acknowledgement of anything else. I wasn't going to acknowledge the dark room. But I came to realize, and in that dark room, there's no darkness in him. He's in the darkness, because, you know, it doesn't overcome him. And I think, you know, it's just, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm not sure if people value that much. And if they don't, I'd say it's because they don't do it much. You know, things we value is what we do. I mean, I heard, I don't know who it was the other day, some preacher preaching, and he said, you know, the things that you value, he said, remember, God's words declares you'll have no other gods before him. He said, what are you doing more than what you're waiting on God for? He said, it could be your God. Then he mentioned, he said, your wife, your children. I mean, he just went down a list. You know, the only thing I know is God's a jealous God. And I've actually believed that he's taken things out of our life to stop that from happening. I mean, we should desire just his presence. But, you know, we get tangled up so much in the world's way they are and all this other stuff. They are how they desire to be. I actually used that scripture once in a celebration of somebody's life. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me the whole time I was reading this. And it happened to be an aunt of mine. And he gave me three of her children. She's like, had eight. She gave me three of her children. I wrote down a note to each one of them and dated it. She probably won't remember it, but I had her, like, sign it So she would, because I got it at a certain date. And when they came up and challenged the work, they didn't challenge me, they challenged the work. I said, well, here's your copy, and here's your copy, with their names on it. And it was at least 3 days old. Because the Holy Spirit had been telling me, they won't accept this. And he told me the ones that wouldn't accept it. What's the word say? God's word don't what?
Return
void. Well, he was bringing it to it not to happen. It was going to not happen. Because they go like it. Well, that doesn't say that. And I said, here's your cup. You know, how do people realize, or when are they going to realize, that God is not a by chance God? He is on time all the time. And he knows what's going to take place before we do. No matter what part of it.
Anybody else?
I think verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, the kingdom of God is within us.
Yes.
And I think that includes heaven.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And when we think of things external to the kingdom of God, I think that creates a gap, you know, when we're not realizing where it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's sometimes the reason why we can't go far from our prayer closet. We have to always be right there so that we can get our head on straight. What's that scripture that says dividing asunder between spirit and soul? Is that what's on the
bone and
marrow?
The
two-edged sword?
Yeah.
I think that, and Oscar has pointed out for 20 years or more, that knowledge, that dividing asunder, is not to judge or to punish, it is to identify. And I see myself when I get alone in my prayer closet with God and I get very right-sized and I realize how beautiful he is and how much I want to be with him and be like him, I see what is soul and what is spirit in my life. And he shows that to me, not to judge me, but to make me become more like him. Because it is a very soulish thing to be when you are in the flesh. It is a natural thing for the man to be soulish. But our soul has to come into subjection to the Spirit of God before it can enter fully into that. In God, wait a second, 1 second. In God, God is one. The Spirit that dwells within us is one. Somehow, in a way that we don't understand yet, but God is showing us, he's dividing it to reveal it to us, not to judge it, that there's soul and there's spirit. And he is one, there is one spirit. And we are all of that spirit. You know, some of that is in every single human being. And to me, the biggest thing he shows me when I'm quiet with him is to zip it inside and zip it outside. Don't judge it in here, don't judge it out there. You know, be like that old Chinaman. I want to be so God-like. How do you say that? To be so like my Father that I will not judge. And boy, has he given me lots of areas in which to put that into place. Because whatever is soulish will never, you see, resentment and judgment and all that, it's of the soul. And nothing of the soul, if it's not under the subjection to the Spirit will ever enter into. Nothing of us will enter into that higher place unless it's dealt with and put under, you know, this growth that happens, this processing of our soul that happens for us to come up closer and higher and be more like Him until one day we'll look in the mirror and we'll see our Father. Okay.
I think if we go back and we take Jesus and we realize that Jesus is the Father,
mm-hmm.
and what He said, that He can only do what He sees the Father do, He can only say what He sees the Father say. Jesus' whole purpose on earth was to reveal the Father. And He did that by judging as the Father. Now this is a hint. We shouldn't stand back from judging. It's how we judge. Jesus always judged to restore the people. Restoring is a good judgment. I mean, you know, I can go back into what? Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's David repenting of his sins. And the fastest way we can restore is by repenting. He said, take not thy presence from me. I mean, you know, it's just, that is how. It's not to divide, it's to bring together. It's to unite. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. This whole room only has one spirit in it. That's how Christ is. He's one spirit in one body, right? He's the head of the whole body. We used to talk, this has been a long time ago, we used to talk about the universal body. But we just see that as many members. I think it's time that we step up and say, but it's only one body. Mm-hmm. I mean, who was it used to talk about it, where the guy was he, I'm not sure, but Lord, you know, I'm this way, I'm the only one. And He said, oh, no. He said, I have 7,000 more. Right? I mean, he told him 7,000. Sometimes we think we are the only ones. But the way to get off our eyes off of that is to remember this. Mm-hmm. Christ always restored and brought honor to His Father. Mm-hmm. That was His mission. And to be honest with you, that should be the church's mission. To restore. Oscar said they're all saved, but they just don't know it. Mm-hmm. Could be we're not restoring enough. I mean, I don't know.
You know what you said, Kath, and what you said. Listen to all this. I was going to say exactly what you said. So, and what you were saying, I agree with all of that. But when we were talking about in that scripture where it talks about the dividing asunder between joint marrow and soul and spirit,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, the Lord showed me that. It was for identification, not for separation, but for identification. And what has to happen is that when our soul gets in line with His Spirit in submission to the Father in all things, the Spirit of God in all things, then that marriage supper takes place. And that marriage supper, when that marriage happens, then it can only bring forth one thing. The Son of God. That's all it can bring forth. It can't bring forth anything else because that union of soul and spirit. And when we realize that the word soul is kind of a feminine word, it's a feminine word. And we all, when we're operating in the soul and we're operating in the sense of not being in union with what the Spirit of God is saying, what's happening is it's the woman being out of subjection to her husband. You know, like it says in that one scripture when Paul was talking about that, you know, in I think it was in Ephesians, the 5th or 6th chapter, where Paul was talking about marriage, you know, and he said, I'm really not talking about marriage. He said, I'm talking about something else. And most people read right past that and they don't even see it. But what he's really talking about is talking about the union of your soul with the Spirit of God and being in subjection to the soul of God, to the Spirit of God, that soul being in subjection. And I love the way the Amplified Bible puts it, where it says, wives, be in subjection to your husbands. And he's saying, I'm really talking about something not just natural. I'm talking about something spiritual here is what he's saying. And he says, see that she notices him, prefers to him, praises him, does all this kind of stuff. And that's what we're to do to the Spirit of God, see? Our soul in total subjection. And when we come into that total subjection, then the only thing that can be totally birthed out of us is just the nature of the Son of God, you know. And, you know, I was just thinking about the first part of that, prayer, thy kingdom come, you know. And I was looking at that word to come, and in my reverences in this Bible thing, the meta for that is this, to come into being, to arise, to come forth, to show itself, to find place of our influence. And when we come to the place of really realizing the kingdom of God is in us, like you were saying, then what happens is that kingdom begins to show itself, and it begins to come forth, and it begins to be a total place of influence, you know, in our lives and in the lives of people that we deal with. And you know, when Jesus, Brother Eddie used to say this so much, and I don't know how many, I bet I heard him say it, not maybe 100 times, but many, many times, he would quote that scripture where he would say, talk about, you know, Jesus being standing there, and he'd say, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven,
standing,
you know,
right there.
Standing right there in front of him. And I'm sure they looked at him and thought, what in the world is he talking about? He's right here. He's on the earth. You know, no, he was in the heavenly realms because he was so in union with his Father, the Spirit. And see, a lot of times where we have a problem sometimes with separating what the Scripture says that about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? Scripture tells you that God is Spirit. Well, you don't see Spirit. You know what I mean? Spirit, Scripture explains it. Spirit is like the wind. You don't see the wind, but you feel the effect of the wind. And you see what the wind does. You go outside and watch the trees move, watch the leaves blow, you watch the wind has a definite effect. Well, that's the way the Spirit of God is. Well, Jesus came, like Clyde was saying, to reveal the Father, so that until we could actually see the Father in a form that we can understand, we had a hard time believing what the Father was. You know what I mean? People think it's three separate things sitting up in heaven somewhere. Well, I got news for you. It ain't three separate things. It's all one thing. It's God. You know, and the expression of him, Jesus was the expression, the outraying of the divine. He was the expression of God, you know. And when we come to realize that when he's praying there, that prayer is such a, if you really understand it, it's such a deep thing, in the sense that it's not just saying those words, but it's understanding what it actually means. You know, our Father, when you're saying our Father, what are you doing? You're acknowledging God as Father. Mm-hmm. Once you acknowledge him as Father, guess what? That means you're birthed of him. For him to be your Father, he had to birth you. You know, he had to do something to bring you about. And then, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It has to be done in this earthen vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessel, but the excellence of the power has to be of God and not ourselves. And when we realize that it's all about him, then it's no longer self being separated from God. It's self in union with God. And then when that happens, you know, it's all that oneness that you were talking about, you know, and it has to be oneness, you know. But anyway, I preach a whole sermon here if I get going. But that's you know, all of these things that were just said, they went together and they're so good. And it makes me feel good just to hear you guys saying that stuff. I mean, it really does. Because God's really opening things up all the time to all of us, you know. And, you know, this thing is a lot more, it's probably a lot closer than we think it is, you know, at times. I mean, this expression of the fullness of God, it's going to come forth in a people. And creation is crying and groaning and travailing, waiting for it to come forth. I mean, look at the unrest out there in the world, you know. That's why it's at unrest, because there's that groaning and travailing, waiting for that manifestation of the sons of God. And we groan within ourselves to a certain extent, too, waiting for that full manifestation of coming to that full realization of who and what we are in Christ and who and what He is in us, you know. Anyway, that's
the thing that we're moving toward.
Yeah.
Is that acknowledging the oneness of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that we are all a part of that same Spirit. And when you go back to the Our Father, it says, forgive us as we forgive others. What we're really saying is, when I judge someone, I'm judging myself.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one.
Right.
You know, when I acknowledge someone as being acceptable in the Father, no
mm-hmm.
matter what, when I acknowledge them as being possibly a little younger, you know, babies poop their pants sometimes, but you just keep
mm-hmm.
feeding them. You know, you don't starve them to death because, you know, it's part of growing. And, you know, the other day I was asleep, and when I woke up, just exactly what you were just saying about the whole earth is in such a turmoil these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of thinking about that as I was waking up, and I was saying, Lord, how long is this, you know, what's going on, because I don't understand you. How long? And you know what He answered me? Until. Until I say, it's all in my plan. Until. And He reminded me that when we take that time element out of judgment, you know, we're judging things as they appear now. Now is part of the concept of time. God is not within the concept of time. Spirit is eternal, you know? And it kind of changes my perspective when I have a thought of, oh, they got a new car and I didn't, you know? That, that you're separating them. You're separating that person from me. That person and I are one in Christ. That's all there is. There is Spirit, one Spirit in the earth, and we're all coming into that. Ain't easy. Ain't no hill for steppers, is what they say.
You know the scripture. Because we find we're going to come to the place where the only thing we find comfort in is the Word of God. There's a scripture that says that we are all acceptable in Him. How many's all?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to realize there is no division among God.
Mm-hmm.
There's oneness.
Mm-hmm.
In Him we move, we breathe. And I'm probably quoting that wrong. I usually quote everything wrong. But God is all in all. The song that Brother Eddie used to sing about being on the shelf.
Yes.
There'll be no
I
what?
Come to the end of myself.
Yeah.
No broken vessel sitting down on God's shelf.
All men see, all men free. That went.
That's all that's left.
That God is all that's left.
The sinner receive that. I don't have no problem with judgment. Because I look at him and know mercy. And I know bring honor to God. Restore. When you look at, we have opportunities to restore that we kind of fall flat on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, let's wait on God and find out.
Mm-hmm.
He always waited on the Father. When you talked about, because you said that earlier, He went to the garden a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And He went there for the communication that it would be no interference between Him and God.
Mm-hmm.
And He became more and more one and one and one with Him. And His oneness was what His mission was for here. They would see Jesus. Isn't that the cry of your heart? Even today, we would see Jesus. Well, I got news for you. Every time somebody comes up to us, whether they're desiring to see that, we can't help reflect but what we are. What we are is like Oscar says about the tree. If we're the tree of the life, we should reflect that life. You know, hope.
God must be dealing with people in the same realms.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I also have been asking the Lord, make me more like you. And the other day I snapped at somebody and all of a sudden it was clang, 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 clang. Hello? I mean, it was the Lord saying, what was that about? And in verse 15, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. We're included in that. A lot of times we need to forgive ourselves. And we don't realize that we're part of the one, the all. I'm sorry.
That's so good. We have to remember that we're included in that.
I like what the Living Bible says about the 15th verse. It says, your Heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you. But if you, and I like this word in here, refuse to forgive. So we have a choice. When we refuse, the next script, the very next line identifies with that. It says, but if you refuse to do that, you will not be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take that and just make it a larger word. That larger word was, in any degree that you don't forgive, and any person that you have hard feelings with, that Jesus don't seem to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, what we try to do, don't answer that phone, we know who that is. Or, don't walk out there, they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, I enjoy walking into that. Because God set me in a place to where I'll break you in half to show them I exist. And that's where, remember, I said this in class one time. We need to step up, even if it's not our fault, take the blame for it. We need to be broken vessels, his broken vessels, amongst this crooked, messed up world. Because they are crying out to seek Jesus. They don't know it. They don't know what it is. Oh, by golly, don't you think among us, it's time that they see it in us? God, break us. Do whatever it takes for our will to break and his to just penetrate. Penetrate our thoughts, penetrate our motives, penetrate. Take a moment here to pause. I believe every time Jesus paused, he was going, he was getting the message clear. Why are you here? He was showing us Jesus. He was showing us God. He was showing us not reaction, but action. I'm one person that believes in being proactive, not reactive. Because I've seen a lot of times people be reactive. It doesn't help the person. Well, I knew you were going to fall, but I decided to let you. Well, that's almost like what we're saying when we know they're going to trip here. We could go over, come up, I like your word, come alongside them to study them, to sturdy them up to where they won't fall. And then act like, oh, we found a neighbor that had a problem. You know what our answer to that was? That's what neighbors are supposed to do. That's really what we're supposed to do. And, you know, the word would say that when they want you to go a mile, go the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
And don't resent it and don't point it out. Because I'll tell you what, if it's done smoothly enough, they'll barely even notice it. But I tell you this, I believe they will see Jesus in it. And they'll go, oh, wow. People want. The old saying is people always want what they don't have. But what we got, they can have it. And they can have it through us and through other people.
Isn't it amazing that as we give away what that piece of spirit from from us to them, it magnifies back to us. We can't give enough to outgive God, you know?
No, we'll one day recognize that's the joy of the Lord. And we'll walk in joy. And according to the scripture, His joy is our strength. Not a strength that we one day might have, but one day, which is today, today, you'll have it.
Praise the Lord.
I feel like the pause that's in us right now is spirit. When I go into my prayer closet, the thing that comforts me the most is that the first thing that God tells me is how beloved I am to Him.
Mm-hmm.
How acceptable. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of what it is God wants us to be, is what He has already given us. His great love for us, you know, has caused Him to give His Son, His only begotten Son. Somebody pray.
Yes, Jesus. Teach us.
Mold us. If there's anything in us that needs to go, we give it to us. Or not just, we will have no trouble doing that. I know there's so many things in us that need to go. But we know it's all in your time. You have this thing, you have it in the palm of your hand. Father, the gifts that you have given us, help us to hold that light. That we may do your will, that we may scatter seeds of your love throughout our earth, throughout our cosmos, places where we touch the earth and the earthiness in man. Help us, Lord. Learn the secret joy of not laboring out all that we've done, all that we know, all the secrets that you have told us. Help us, Lord, to mature, to know how to keep these things in our heart until.
I actually experienced that oneness one time. Wasn't in my prayer closet. I was at the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing some procedure and he gave me nitrous oxide. And it felt like something got removed in my mind. And I could feel the oneness of everything.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that song, one with the earth and the sky, let alone people, kept repeating in my head. And it's like, oh. I'm not going to take
any more of that.
Yeah. Be my nitrous oxide, Lord. Lower whatever it is, whatever that veil is that keeps us from actually seeing the truth and seeing you and everything.
You know, I think it was a week or so ago where I told you that I had read some things about that Tesla, the scientists, you know, and they said that they found some, they've got his notes, they've got everything that that guy, I mean, he came up with stuff that is just now happening, you know, back when he was, but they said what he would do is, he said he would get, apparently he wrote this out, what he would do is that he would get quiet and still, and he didn't mention Jesus, which, you know, whether he realized it or not, that's what he was really doing. But he would actually say, I want to be one with the universe. You know, and what he was really saying is, I don't want to be one with you. But he did, I don't know if he actually was a religious fella or not, but I tell you what, that oneness is the very key to everything. When we come into that full oneness, you know, I like what you said a while ago, Kathy, when you said about, you know, about until, you know. And in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it talks about us endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then it talks about us keeping the unity until we come to the unity of the faith. And when we come to the unity of the faith and begin to speak the truth in love, see, that's when the measure of the stature of the fullness of God is going to come forth totally in our lives. But we have to come to the unity of the faith. And that definition I felt like the Lord gave me for faith was believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. Well, he is the truth. When you totally believe into him, you know, and he's believing into you, you know what I mean. That comes that oneness again. And you know, like I say, the Lord lets us know that we're not quite there at times, you know. That's where that separation of soul and spirit comes at times. And what he's really doing there is he's just letting you know that in that particular area, you're not one with him yet, you know. And he's not doing that to condemn you. He's doing that so that you can bring that and put it in submission to him or give it to him. Because sometimes we have things where we just don't want to submit, you know what I mean? I remember one time years ago, Pat saying that the Lord was your sister. I remember her saying that, and the Lord brings a lot of this stuff to my mind a lot of times of what people said in times past. And I know that God was really dealing with them, you know. But she said that the Lord had been dealing with her about surrendering all. Well, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. Well, you know, that's where it's all at. Because coming into the unity of the faith, we'll only come in as we learn to surrender. And the Lord dealt with me one time about the perfect law of liberty being surrender. You know,
submission,
you know, surrender, same thing. You know, I mean, basically, when you get down to it. And that's the perfect law of liberty. When we come to the place where we totally surrender, we totally, you know, commit ourselves to the Lord in all of our ways, guess what? That's what he wants. We'll be in that place of oneness, and we'll start coming into that full oneness with God, you know. He's already, on his side, it's already done. On our side, we're still moving toward it, you know, at times, you know. And you know, a lot of people want to act like they've already arrived there, and I don't know if they've actually arrived at this point, but they are arriving, I'll say, you know. He's bringing us to that full knowledge of Him, and as we come into that full knowledge of Him, then we're going to be just like our Father, you know. And that pleases God more than you'd ever know, to say, I want to be just like you, Father, you know, the Father of spirits, you know. And really, you are like Him, because that Spirit dwells in you. If that same Spirit dwells in you, it was in Christ Jesus, it will quicken even your mortal bodies. And it does. It is, you know. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, but I don't know. We're coming to that place. And I hear the cry of even the people sitting around here. That's what people are crying for. They want that unity of the Spirit, that oneness of the Spirit. And, you know, that's where it's all at. Well, I guess.
We better close.
Yeah.
Mike, would you close this
one? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this get together today and to listen and hear your word. And Father, just let us grow closer to you. Let us find those places in our heart and in our mind where we can just close everything out and be right and one with you. And we'll give it all to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.